7 in your green hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and truly repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, who heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose, by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost, henceforth to amend your sinful lives. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The introit. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
beseech Thee, Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of Thy grace may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Old Testament reading for Latari is from the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoner, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the road, and their pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the spring of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Here ends the reading. The epistle is from the fourth chapter of Galatians. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one of Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage for her, with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many children, more than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here ends the epistle. We rise for the reading of the gospel.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which shall
Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he had performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as many as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Here ends the gospel.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
sermon text is from John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. This is our text. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who through thy Son in the desert with little didst abundantly feed thousands, we beseech thee, visit us also with thy blessing and preserve us from covetousness and cares of the body, that we may seek first thy kingdom and righteousness and experience thy fatherly goodness in all things needful for soul and body. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The question I desire to answer this morning concerning John chapter 6 and this gospel and this reading is, where is the gospel? Where is the good news in this reading? I often speak about the proper distinction between law and gospel in the scriptures. We teach that the law shows us our sins and the gospel shows us our Savior who has accomplished our salvation. And I repeatedly emphasize the gospel message because only Christianity has the gospel. Now, in teaching, it's all quite clear. But when it comes to putting it into practice, well, we often fail to distinguish law and gospel and even fail to remember to trust in the gospel and not the law. Today's account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 from St. John chapter 6. It's also found in other Gospels. In fact, in St. Matthew's, which is chapter 14, it tells us just a little bit more about this text. It tells us about the timing of what happened before Jesus had actually done this miracle of the feeding. Jesus had crossed over the sea, St. Matthew tells us, in order to get away from the crowds and in order to teach the other apostles. Earlier in the day, when the crowds, Jesus saw the crowds and they were still coming towards him, Jesus asked his disciples, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And quite quickly, the apostles determined that they don't have enough money. But after this exchange, it would seem that the disciples forgot about Jesus' question, and the day just kind of goes on. Jesus goes on, he heals the sick, he teaches the people from the Word of God, and it wasn't until much later that the disciples realized, wait, we've got a crisis on our hands. You see, they were out in rural areas of a mountainside. There are no restaurants, no stores. They don't have enough food. Jesus has taught all day. With 5,000 men counted in the group, there's got to be at least double. You add in the women and the children. And so according to St. Matthew's Gospel, it says this, "When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.'" They don't realize till evening. Jesus already knew at the beginning of the day, and they just figure it out. It's getting late. We got a problem. Send them away. That's the only thing they can think of. In the midst of our trials, in the midst of our confusion, we may come to the conclusion as well that the Savior has nothing to offer us with the particular problem that we have and think that we need to go somewhere else. We hear about a church burning down or a hurricane taking it away, and we can't think of anything to say. What do we say? Someone says, "Well, where's the gospel in all this?" A mother is taken away by cancer and leaves behind a husband and children. Where's the good news? Where's the gospel in this? There's conflict at home or at work. There are financial burdens bearing down on us, and you have to take care of a child or an ailing mother, and you don't know how it's all going to work out. Yes, I know the forgiveness of sins in Jesus, but what does it have to do with this situation right here? There are doctors practicing medicine. There are people helping out friends. But I'm seeing that this is an overwhelming crisis. Needs are much too great. And where's the gospel in all of this? So St. Matthew's account, Jesus says to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And well, they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them here to me. You see, when someone says, where's the gospel in all of this? It's not because the gospel is absent. It's because we can't see it. The gospel is here. In fact, it's all over the place. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ is crying out so loud you can't hear it. Let me show it to you. Jesus travels away by sea so that he can teach his apostles. And the apostles are the ones that are going to carry Jesus' message, that gospel message, out through all the world. And by their writings, we're going to have it. So this is a good thing. And this is where the gospel is beginning to go, that they are well taught, that we might be taught. And then when the crowds follow him, we see that it is because they are like sheep without a shepherd, and they need the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. That is the gospel. And so the gospel message is already being prepared. Jesus is here, and he is getting ready to go to Jerusalem to take away our sins that we might have eternal life. And then when things don't go according to Jesus' plan, that is, because the crowds follow after him and they find him. He went across the sea to get away. And they went all around. And then we see Jesus' mercy upon them because of their need. He looks and sees them coming around and he has compassion on them. And we see that he heals their sick. You see, it is a gospel message and it is good news to us that there's never a bad time to call upon Jesus, to come to him. You'll call your friend and they'll say, I can't talk right now. Not for Jesus. There's never a time in which Jesus does not desire to have mercy upon us. And if at any point you have sinned or in trouble, call upon Jesus and he does not turn away. Furthermore, if you think that somehow you can mess up Jesus' plan, as I said, Jesus went across the lake. He went to teach the disciples. The crowds come along. Are things all messed up? No. Despite the change, Jesus does end up teaching his disciples, maybe a little bit later, first, and immediately he shows his great concern, the need for the multitudes who are, well, without food. They can't even acquire it. He talks to the apostles that he might use this to teach them. They try every avenue, but to no avail. Not enough money, not enough supplies. Their final answer is, send the people away, which is the wrong answer. They failed the test. But it's good. It's good. When we realize our inability, and Jesus prepares the gospel for us, that we might receive it. And so we see the gospel once again when Jesus teaches them the answer. He says, bring them to me. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. With Jesus, all things are possible. Bring them to me. They should have called upon Jesus. The gospel, once again, is that Jesus provides and supplies all of our needs. Whatever condemns you, Jesus forgives. Bring it to Jesus. Not only does he provide, he works out all things for us well. He cares for you more than you even care for yourself. The disciples thought they had a problem in the evening. Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He was asking them early that morning. He had figured out not only the problem, but also the solution way before the crowds had arrived. For some reason, we think that God is not providing, and we think that things are out of control, and we think that God has, well, no, He has already worked out a solution to the problem way before it happened. He has been preparing it for weeks, maybe for years. Just as Jesus gave the bread and the fish to the apostles to give to the people, He has been preparing pastors so that they can give the Word of God and the sacraments to you. He has been getting this ready for years, so when the tragedy comes, you would not have the downfall of your faith. The law and gospel, which comes from the apostles, which He taught them, continues to be taught to those so that it might be preached to you and that you might receive it. The strengthening of your faith over years has all been from Jesus all along, and He strengthens you before the tragedy comes, lest you think the church doesn't have enough to take care of your particular condition. Note that there are 12 baskets left over. A basket for each of the apostles. They all run over. The pastor's supplies are much more than you will ever need. He continues to go to the Word of God and to continue to give you from the unfailing well of the water of eternal life. He continues to feed you so that you are satisfied. When the people were directed to Jesus, they were satisfied. And if God provides you with 5 loaves and 2 fish, then He must know that that is all that you need. That's all that we really need. Our Lord never leaves His children in need. So we see at the end of the story that there is a twofold response. The one is not asking for the gospel at all. It's not asking for the good news. We see in verse 15 that one of the responses was this: therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to a mountain by Himself alone. The law answer is that we can use this God and make Him do what we want. We can get what we want out of this. He's a pretty good miracle worker. And that's what they are seeking. And when we see that, what happens? Though they seek to grab onto Him, they can't even hold Him. No, the second answer is the right answer. The second response is this: when they see Jesus' miracle and the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." You see, Moses had announced it long ago that God would send the prophet, and that prophet would be the mediator. He would be the one who takes away our sins. The right answer is to cling to the gospel, the announcement that Jesus is the Savior and that He has compassion and provides for our needs. That is the right answer. The right answer is that Jesus is that special prophet and He has come for our needs. Jesus says, "Bring them to Me." Well, through the preaching of the Word, I bring you to Jesus, and all your needs are supplied. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in Me, page 18, we stand. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for all Thy goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of Thy dear Son and for the revelation of Thy will and grace. And we beseech Thee so to implant Thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Most heartily we beseech Thee so to rule and govern Thy church universal with all its pastors and ministers, that it may be preserved in the pure doctrine of Thy saving word, whereby faith toward Thee may be strengthened and charity increased in us toward all mankind. Grant also health and prosperity to all in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after Thy good pleasure, or to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please Thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for Thy name and for Thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of Thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved Thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat Thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions, but out of Thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of Thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show Thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Cause also the needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations, to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with Thy blessings. Shower Your blessings upon our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, as well as Pastor Jeffrey Ahonen and Deacon Jacob Henson, as they serve the congregations of Good Shepherd, Pure Blessings, Apologia, and these missions. We ask that You continue to shower out Your blessings on Pastor Maureen in Colombia, as well as to provide for his physical needs after the thievery. Be with our armed forces, especially Jason and Blake, our police officers, including Daniel and Alex, with our shut-ins, Carolyn and Patty, our elderly, Violet and Tom, with Susan and her unborn child. Be with our students, with Tom and Kara, Jonathan, Sarah, Sadie, Alexis, and Jessica. And Lord, provide for the needs of Larry and Deb, Christina, Jim and Charlotte, Rusty, Philip, and Mervon. These and whatsoever other things Thou would have us ask of Thee, O God, vouchsafe unto us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, Thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with Thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Dearly beloved, for as much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves, as St. Paul exhorteth us, for this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and their hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, and hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us, for our deliverance, suffer death, and all that we might our sins have deserved. And to the end, that we should the more confidently believe this, and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he has instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us the drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Spirit, Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, unto thy king was he, ready to bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for death for all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, shed for the remission of your sins. Depart in peace.
I was glad when they sent to me. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gate.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for all of your sins.
For thrones are set there for judgment. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper.
May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve your body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, Peace be with them. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
The truth of
take and drink. This is the true wine of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of our Savior shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Savior shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve your body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.